Back here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. Sam Speck with you live from our KGGF studios. And it is Wildcat Wednesday, as we're so accustomed to. We speak with the K-State Extension District's Jacob Weber, more commonly, and a bunch of others of your guys' correspondents as well today. Jerry Guerin in with us as
Good
well.
Morning.
Jerry, Jacob, welcome back.
Morning.
As didn't get a whole lot of time, I've got a busy morning, busy night with the Coach's Corner and Red Ravens football getting right around the corner. So not a whole lot of time off here to speak about. But what are some things that you've been getting, you know, a lot of calls on here recently, Jacob? I didn't get to speak with you last week, so okay. Let's hear some couple of things that you've been hearing recently.
One of the things to talk about is the purple boxes in the trees. I got several calls on that one.
Oh, well, that kind of raises my eyebrows. A purple box in
purple
a tree.
Purple boxes hanging in the trees. That. And some folks know what they're for, and others don't. The purple boxes are put in the trees. They're actually a pheromone trap. And a pheromone trap is for the purpose of detecting the presence of emerald ash borer. I believe that's what the Kansas Department of Agriculture is in charge of this, the Plant Protection Division. And it's just to monitor to see if the emerald ash borer beetle is present. A pheromone is in the insect world, is the equivalent of a sexual attractant. It attracts the males. Of course, it's a scent, and it's fairly effective at bringing in an insect if the insect is present within the area, that it can detect that particular pheromone. Hopefully, they don't find anything, because.
Yeah.
But one question I had was. Regarding, can I get one of these boxes? With the idea that these pheromone traps will control the insect, prevent him from causing damage. And the answer is no. It's the boxes are not available for sale, as far as I know. They may be from some private companies, but they're not effective at controlling the insect. They're only effective at determining if the insect is present, because the idea behind that is, of course, if you can bring the insects in and collect them in one spot, then they're not going to do damage elsewhere. That's not the case. There are some places where pheromones are used for mating disruption. I know of the coddling moth is in some vineyards is controlled with pheromones, and that just confuses the male insect, that so that the male insect can't really determine where the females are, and it requires quite a number of pheromone emitters within a given area, but it doesn't work on emerald ash borer. So the traps are there. They're placed about 15 feet above the ground, 15 to 18 feet, something like that. And they're placed along roadways, not so that they're there so people can see them. It's there for the convenience of the people who put them there, so they can monitor them. They can come and check on them.
And Jacob, talking about the emerald ash borer, I know you've been getting questions also about seeing some disturbances in bark. And so maybe talk about how to identify or distinguish the difference between an insect bothering the bark and maybe a bird.
Oh, okay. Sapsucker. Yeah, that was another issue that came up.
And, doesn't sound very friendly. Is that a bug or a bird that we're talking about?
It's a bird.
Woodpecker.
Okay. It's
a woodpecker.
Yeah. Yellow-bellied sapsucker. And all you have to do, if you want to see what the sapsucker damage is on the tree, if you have access to the internet, you just type in the word yellow-bellied sapsucker damage. And
they're a little well known for
it. Look at the pictures, and there's lots of pictures, and there's some pretty rough looking trees. But
is it pretty easy to determine when it is, that bird compared to?
It's extremely easy to tell when it's the yellow-bellied sapsucker, because the holes are going to be about the size of the end of a regular pencil, about that diameter. And but the really peculiar thing about sapsucker is that the bird makes the holes in rows, both horizontal and vertical. Hmm. A very, almost very precise distance between each hole. And so, yeah, you see a row of holes. It's not an insect. It's the bird. It's a sapsucker. Because the holes that are made by borers, and here's another confusing thing. When you see the hole made by an insect borer, that's when the insect has left the tree, not when it's going into the tree. It goes into the tree as a very tiny larva, and you don't see the entrance wounds. In fact, sometimes the egg is actually injected underneath the bark by the adult female insect. But when the insect matures, it undergoes metamorphosis, a change from a larva through a pupa into the adult. And it's the adult phase that exits the tree for the purpose of finding a mate, mating, and repeating the life cycle. Or maybe, of course, the insect may overwinter inside the tree as a pupa or a mature insect. But to get out, they have to chew a hole. And they chew a hole through the bark. Okay, they were there, but they're not there anymore.
Not
so
anymore.
You see the holes. It's pointless. First of all, if you're going to spray the tree for the insect, it's pointless because the insect's already gone. The other thing that makes it pointless to spray a tree when the insect's inside the tree is your spray is not going to get into the insect unless it's systemic and can be taken up inside the tree. And there are just a few products that can be applied as a soil drench to a tree, and that would be taken up by the tree itself. The thing about this is it has to be done at a specific time of the year, because you just can't do it any day of the month or any day of the year. You have to do it at a time when that tree has the ability to take that material inside of it and move it up and disperse it throughout the entire tree, wood column, that is. And sometimes if it isn't done right, you may get effective treatment on one side of the tree, but not on the other. So you have to do it, really read the label directions and do it the way it needs to be done to protect the tree. And it's more of a protectant. It's not really an eradicant, but it can be used as an eradicant if you have an overwintering population of larvae that are in the tree and you have to get it in time to kill the larvae. But really the best thing to do to protect the tree from wood-boring insects, for most of them, is to keep the tree in a good, healthy condition. And that can be done if you have a cooperation of nature, adequate rainfall, is very beneficial, and a little bit of fertilizer. And that pretty much keeps that tree in good condition, and remove and, you know, pruning and everything else, some good management practices would really help out. But keep the tree in a good, healthy condition.
And Jacob, do you remember where the emerald ash borer has been found in Kansas? Has that been increasing or holding steady?
I haven't heard that it's increasing, but it's in the Kansas City and Topeka, Shawnee County area. I'm pretty sure it's in Shawnee County. I think I heard it may actually be in Douglas County as well, around Lawrence, but some of the major population areas. The main means of movement on this particular insect is not by the insect itself, which is a slow mover. On its own, it probably wouldn't move more than a half a mile per year. Mm-hmm. But thanks to humans and their ability to travel, modern transportation systems, and a desire to move wood, firewood in particular, this is one of the major ways it's moved. Moving wood from an infested location with infested wood, because the insect, part of the life cycle of the insect, the emerald ash borer, is going to be a larva inside the wood. And it's going to remain inside that wood, and it'll mature and emerge as an adult. If you're moving firewood, you're moving the insect from infested area to a non-infested area, then you come up with an infestation. those infestations all of a sudden appear, and they may be several hundred miles away from an existing infestation. We know it's been had a little bit of help. By the time an infestation is identified, it's probably been there for 2 or 3 years. What we want to do is slow the movement of this particular insect, emerald ash borer. I told you that keeping the tree in a healthy condition helps prevent attacks by wood-boring insects. Not in the case of the emerald ash borer. It attacks healthy trees, and it will kill healthy trees. It's specific for ash. It's an obligate. It doesn't feed on any other species of trees, just ash trees. And so you don't have to worry about your hackberry or your pecan or your oak tree. It's not going to affect those.
So really just kind of narrow it down and limit the infestation at all possibilities.
Right. Just don't move firewood.
Yeah, don't move firewood here. As we got a couple of minutes till we come up here on the top of the hour, as looks like Jerry's got a flyer there that we will hit on in the 8 o'clock hour as well. Give me a little sneak preview, though. What is that?
Okay, well, we've got two meetings coming up, a Women in Ag meeting and then a trapping school.
Oh, so trapping school and Women in Ag.
Yeah.
Yes. So, we'll talk about those in the 8 o'clock hour. For now, though, we'll set it off to a quick set of commercials with Wildcat Wednesday. Jerry Guerin and Jacob Wepper will be back in just a moment.